Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 103, and it is March 21st, 2018. I am your host, Russ, and of course I'm joined by Kent, and on this podcast we talk wrestling, mostly. Unless Kent's with somebody else, and then in which case he talks something else. But this time it's wrestling, like most times. Kent, how you doing?
I'm adequate. Doing all right. I just had a taco.
Fascinating. That's good stuff. All right, so basically what we do is we talk about wrestling in the week and stuff like that, have a few fun segments, and then we play a game. This week, though, we're going to recap real fast, because let's face it, a lot of things are getting repeated. A little bit ad nauseum.
The build-up to Mania is just monotonous.
Yes.
It's going to be for the next, what, 3 weeks, is it?
At least the main star, or like the main story. So we'll hit them every week, but we're not going to hit them every week. But we'll talk about every one of them as the weeks go by for the next couple of weeks, I think, right?
Well, I mean, the preview week, I mean, we're going to be really going in depth and shit anyway, so we're trying not to beat this dead horse. We're trying not to pretend this is a Paige sex tape.
Right. Beat it a million times. To it.
Right.
Right. Right. So, we're going to have a little bit of a fun segment, mostly, this week. I think it's really good. This week, what we're going to do is we're going to evaluate the talent that got traded from Raw to SmackDown and SmackDown to Raw in the, The roster shakeup? Yeah, roster shakeup. So, they called it in the roster shakeup. We're going to see if Raw or SmackDown ended up winning. So we'll evaluate the talent, because obviously we're not going by storyline, because that would just be dumb.
Right. And we should also hype up that next week, in our now tradition of not overhyping WrestleMania quite yet,
yes.
Next week we are going to go over the top worst and top best decisions for WrestleMania, whether they be the matches, the booking. I have a feeling that the top ones are going to be, like, the good ones will be good, but the bad ones will be hilarious.
Yes.
Look at you, Booker T versus Triple H.
All right, that does sound fun. I don't know. Triple H versus The Undertaker was a...
Well, we all know what the obvious last thing is that we'll be talking about for that segment. For worst booking decision ever. Hey, we're back in New Orleans this year.
Ah, that's definitely in the top two.
Like, that's the whole goddamn list.
I know. All right. So, but this week we're going to evaluate. So, before we do that, though, Kent, give me your moment of bliss.
All right. So, I wanted to come on here and say, with excitement, I wanted to be like, man, I just watched Mohawk, that new movie that Luke Harper's in, and God, was it really good. And I really, really, really wanted to do that. And, God damn it. The thing is, some of the acting is so bad. Like, I feel like some of the actors forget that this is supposed to be like 1814, but the words coming out of their mouths were from the 1900s. I was very confused by the writing of it. Some of the actors are really good, but it's not a great movie.
Okay,
I hate to say it.
All right, okay, can I ask you a question about it?
Sure.
Now, you said that the language was different. Was it like, okay, you remember A Knight's Tale with Heath Ledger?
Yes.
Where they didn't talk like they were back in those days. But at least that was an artistic choice. Is this an artistic choice, or no, just flat out terrible?
I hope. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to just say, you know, it's not so noticeable the more you get into the movie, but like the first 10 minutes you're sitting there going, why did they... You question a lot of things, and that's... You know, sometimes you watch a movie, and you immediately get a bad taste in your mouth, and it's hard to, like... By that point, it's like that first impression of a person, you know? You don't want to meet that person.
Sounds
again.
Like Sayo or Salo. Salo. Yeah, Salo.
Salo.
If you haven't seen that movie, people, we can't recommend it enough to avoid.
If you want to have a really good night, people, just go get Salo, get a Serbian film, get yourself Martyrs and The Girl Next Door. And no, I'm not talking about the chick flick. I'm talking about the movie, the other movie. And just weep yourself to fucking sleep for next month. I don't know. I would say if you are a Luke Harper fan, it's still worth watching. But Luke Harper, I don't know, he's maybe like the eighth biggest character. Doesn't have a lot of lines. He looks awesome.
God, is his time in the movie worth it?
What?
Is his time in the movie worth it?
No. You know how much I hate to say that, but no.
I know.
Oh, that depresses me. But on the plus side, I did have tacos, and I drank a lot last night. Oh, that was my biggest moment of bliss. I was actually going to lead off with that. I watched Mohawk. So last night, Ron came over, and we're playing Resident Evil 5, a game that's been out since 2009.
Great game. Great game.
Actually, just last Tuesday was its...
it would be 8th?
9 year
anniversary. Nine. Jeez, holy crap.
And we're sitting there playing Mercenaries mode. It's a co-op where you take on 150 enemies.
Great game. Yeah. That's great.
And we not only broke a record of ours, we demolished. Our high prior to that, I don't think we ever even hit 300,000. We hit almost 550,000.
Wow. Did you... who do you use? I like the bow bitch.
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
But she's my main squeeze, but I have to be drinking in order to be accurate with her. But in this particular case, me and Ron stumbled across this team that makes no sense why they'd be good together. But it's Rebecca Chambers, who's the short-haired, short girl with big boobs, and Excella, who's one of the bad guys in the game. For whatever reason, that team worked. He took the top part of the stage, and this is like the hardest stage, I think, to get a good score, nonetheless. And we had 146 kill streak out of 150. Like, I've never... We've hit over 100 like three times.
Ever. I was going to say, I think I got like 100 a couple times.
It's so hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
So it was the experimental facility with the liquors that come out.
Okay.
So yeah, that's where we broke our record. So that was really my moment of bliss. So let's talk wrestling.
And not Mohawk.
All
right. So we go from a moment of bliss straight to someone else having a moment of bliss this week. I am 100% positive. Daniel Bryan. And probably one of the wrestling's best feel-good moments in a long, long time. Daniel Bryan has been cleared to wrestle. And from what I thought maybe it was just a clearing to let him wrestle. And I put that in quotations just to be able to put him in a match but not do too many bumps or anything like that. He still might not do tons of bumps. I don't know. But from what I hear is he's cleared. Like, he can wrestle, do whatever he wants. So, this is huge. Monumental, because we all thought he was done. And now he's back.
Well, let's not say everybody, because I remember about 6 months ago, and people can go back to the blog where I said that he was coming back for this angle. And
true.
The naysayers were loud, Ross. Carrie.
I wasn't that much of a naysayer. I think I was on the board of they'll let him in the match, but he wasn't going to do anything. That's where I was.
Yeah, well. Ye of little faith and me of great guessing. You know, I hated Daniel Bryan's big run at WrestleMania 30. I got so sick of like the staged yes moment in the middle of the ring. Like, no matter how many times they want to show that and make it seem like that was a cool moment, I hated that. With that being said, I'm very happy for the guy. I was going to say, like, I want to exercise caution in it, but he's been cleared. I don't think we're going to have a Benoit case. I'm hoping we don't.
I hope we don't either. And that's why when Heather talked to my wife, Heather, she talked to me, and she goes, why was he not able to wrestle? He seems like he was healthy. I said, it's not health. It's the mental state that he was in after the health of the neurologists. And they were terrified that he might turn into a Benoit. And I thought about it. I was like, does she know who Benoit is? So I started explaining. She goes, I know who Benoit is. So I feel proud of that.
good for you.
Good. If anything, she doesn't remember a match, but she knows what he did. Or allegedly did.
Didn't do.
That's right. Fact. So for this, for Daniel Bryan, this is great. Now, I have a couple questions. Let's see if we can hash this out just a little bit. Will he go for a title again eventually? Soon?
I think there's no doubt in my mind that they're going to have to immediately go with Shinsuke versus Daniel at SummerSlam.
Right?
Isn't that basically... I mean, they're going to take full advantage of every dream match possible that they haven't done. So, AJ, Shinsuke, Owens, Sammy, like, I think over the next year, we're due for one of the best years in wrestling matches.
Yep.
Now, because not only is that going to bring excitement, but AJ's going to start going balls out because he's at the end of his run.
Yeah.
I genuinely feel like this is going to be the year where we look back and say, holy shit, there's a lot of really good matches.
Well, I think you're right. I think they're going to blow. WWE is famous for blowing their load quickly. And they're going to be afraid that if he gets injured, you know, they're going to cut ties and say, nope, you're no wrestling anymore.
Which is leads to the question, is Shinsuke really the best guy to go against?
No, absolutely not. Wow. Shinsuke is way too dangerous, especially around the head. So,
would you keep Daniel on SmackDown?
No. Put him on Raw.
Put him on the A show?
Yeah. He is your A guy. The only problem is now, I don't want him to have the red belt, because the red belt's useless, or meaningless. I honestly want him to have the WWE belt, though.
Does this just make it much easier for them to move AJ to Raw and keep Daniel on SmackDown? Isn't this like the perfect thing now? Because now they don't have to worry about, well, should we move Roman or Braun? No, you can keep Roman and Braun on Raw if you want and just move AJ. It doesn't matter anymore. If Daniel Bryan's legit back, it doesn't matter.
Right. I kind of feel bad for Seth because now he's got to contend with Daniel, but...
You know, I'd feel bad for Seth, but liar, and...
He doesn't have pants on... He didn't have pants on fire this week.
Why did he ever agree?
I don't know.
Why?
I feel like one of those Make-A-Wish kids said, hey, Seth, could you wear these pants for me? And Seth is like, you bet, kid. And he wore them the first night, and he thought maybe the kid died that night, and that the next night he didn't come out in them. But then he found that the kid's still alive. They had to wear them for another couple of weeks.
Something bad happened, and
we all lost. We all lost.
You know what else we've lost at is I really hate when Finn wears the blue.
Oh,
he doesn't look good in blue,
mm-mm,
right?
Mm-mm. Red and black; those are his colors. Black.
I could even see like a dark green.
Yep. Okay, dark green works with him. Let's see it.
But
no, the blue's eyesore.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But going back, I mean, there are so many dream matches that we all want to see with Daniel Bryan now. I think he's going to...
Under my original intention, I'd said that Daniel was going to actually team up with Sammy and KO to form a heel team, but if he's cleared, I don't think they're going to turn him...
No, he is the ultimate babyface. He is literally what they need, because they recaptured the lightning in the bottle... Letting him coming back. He is their lightning in the bottle. That he's ultimate babyface, and Brie Bella is now too. Don't you think?
Ugh.
There's
if
never
I fucking have to hear that fucking song, I am punching somebody right in the throat.
Get ready to punch.
Oh my god. Well, let's not call it lightning in a bottle because every time we say lightning in a bottle,
WWE Ron
Strowman gets a tag team championship match, and Heath Slater has nothing in life.
Good point. But he's... I don't know. We'll see. I expect this to be a great year. Hopefully Daniel doesn't get injured. Hope none of those greats get injured. So...
Well, that's going to be the other problem. They still have to move at least Seth and or Finn to SmackDown because Daniel's too much of an injury risk. If he goes down, you cannot bank the whole roster.
They have nothing in SmackDown.
So... I'm happy. Like I hate to bring up all these negatives, but they're precautionary more than anything.
Right. Because if he doesn't get injured, we're looking at a great year of wrestling. Because don't you think AJ is going to want to go balls out against Daniel?
Yeah, I mean, I could see that being Mania next year.
God, that would be a sweet match.
Because if they're moving AJ, it's going to happen real quick after Mania, so we're probably not going to get that matchup until Mania next year.
Probably not.
I could see AJ winning the Rumble next year, or Daniel, for that matter.
I just, oh God, that would be such, yeah, I'd hold off on that one. The only problem is, aren't you afraid, like, if he gets injured and it's over with and Daniel can't fight again, you lose that AJ Daniel? Or you'd say, screw it, it wasn't meant to be.
You know what? I say that you move forward as fast as you can with your top three matches that you really want. Like, plan ahead right now and get everything marked out the best you can and hold out on AJ and Daniel. That's the one match I'd hold out for Mania. Everything else, Sammy versus Daniel, Sammy versus Daniel, KO versus Daniel, Shinsuke. You know what? Fuck it. I want to see Cena and Daniel one more time.
I do want to see. I was going to say, I want to see Cena and Daniel. I also want to see, honestly, Roman and Daniel and Seth and Daniel and Dean and Daniel. Honestly, I want to see all three of those guys go against Daniel.
I want Finn versus Daniel.
Oh, my God. Samoa Joe versus Daniel.
And you know who else I think would be an amazing opponent?
Oh, I got one. Sorry, go ahead.
Baron Corbin works really good with small guys.
He does.
That'd be a great matchup, I think.
I can't believe we didn't miss this one. The Miz versus Daniel.
Well, yeah.
That has been waiting.
It assures us that Miz is going to SmackDown, right? Like, that's a guarantee.
No, either Miz is going to SmackDown or Daniel's going to Raw. They're going to be on the same show. They're definitely going to be on the same show.
I agree.
That is money. That match is money.
Hell, and that could really be SummerSlam.
Yeah.
I mean, it really could. Like, there's so much history. The history goes back how many fucking years?
Yeah, it's great. Oh, and they both, Daniel gave Miz the kicks. So now we're going to both have, they will both have the kicks. It's going to be great.
Except I hate the fucking kicks.
I know,
it's one of the worst moves where you have to sit there and be like, so this guy, he knows he's getting attacked, but he's just going to stand there on his knees and just take the kicks. And the setup is painful. Like, I get why it's popular, but it is one of those painful things.
Well, it's just like the five knuckle shuffle or the people's elbow.
Yeah, there's a ton of moves. It's not just that. There's a ton of moves.
Yep.
But yeah, it's one of those moves that. But whatever. Like, I'm excited, happy for him, and in this case, I say blow your load because I wouldn't say Daniel has more than a couple good years left.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's had all this rest. Look at what happened with Sean.
He had a renaissance.
Yeah, like, the thing is, Daniel needs to not do the goddamn headbutts and needs to take it fucking easy.
Right.
We do not need 5-star classics from him. We just need him back entertaining.
Right. Well, to get rid of the headbutts. That he does not need them. Like, those are moves you don't need.
Like, the headbutts, just no way should be doing it unless you're Samoan.
Right.
In which case, you're fine to do it.
Great, because you have a thick head anyway. So.
Right. Which, why the fuck does Roman?
The wet hair. It probably just, when he hits someone's head, they just slip off.
Yeah, I gotta go on this tangent quickly. Okay. Did you, alright, I know, like everybody else, we know about this whole like steroid scandal thing.
Yes.
So, did you see the video where it was quote-unquote proof against Roman, and it was the worst done, like, 20-minute video I've ever seen? Like,
I can't say that I have.
Oh, you owe it to yourself to watch this proof and evidence, because, my God, it is... It's worse than a Charlotte Flair promo.
It's really that bad. Is it like, does it make you go, I hope he did I hope he did the steroids, and WWE does nothing because you just hate the movie?
Out of spite.
Yep. Yeah, just like I almost want to grab a cigarette every single time I see thetruth.com. Just to,
I want to become a fucking smoker because of those commercials. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It was really bad, and if anybody, I don't know, I know Raja, probably all the wrestling news sites had a clip of the whole video. I think it was 20-some minutes, and it was the quote-unquote proof. But then they say right in the beginning, well, we don't have access to two or three other phones and another laptop or two that would have the rest of our evidence, so we only have one computer. It's like, Well, maybe you guys don't release this video yet. Maybe you you hold
sit
off.
On it. You sit on it, you know, until you got all the stuff you can get.
Yeah, you're not really, like, one of the big things was Jesse Ventura was involved, and then they're like, oh, no, this guy was going under the alias of Jesse Ventura. Yeah, it's really mind-numbing shit.
Oh, see, here's the worst part. They're making it sound like it's some big deal. This is a fake sport. I don't give a shit if he uses steroids. Do you?
No, steroids isn't the problem. This is hell, steroids wasn't even a problem in goddamn baseball. I don't give a fuck. Because, really, yes, it makes you hit for more power, but if you don't have the hand-eye coordination, like people want to rag on Barry Bonds, that motherfucker had some of the greatest coordination of all time, or else he wouldn't be able to put the bat on the goddamn fucking ball to begin with. Like, I have issue, this is why I don't watch baseball. Because their whole philosophy is asinine. Well, we were dying. We were a dying sport. Steroids brought us back, but now we're frowning upon those that brought us back and made us popular and relevant and make us money again. Cool. Like, it's a fucking joke. Plus, I hate the Yankees and the Red Sox.
Right. Let's say, plus the Yankees and the Red Sox. I just don't care. Like, it's a fake sport. He's not doing them to get a performance edge. Who cares?
Right. And some of those PEDs, like, you know, back in the Albany fucking sting of like 10 years ago, a lot of the people that were on that list, it wasn't for the it was like to help heal from injury. And we're frowning upon faster healing from injury? No. Please, if you can use something that will get you healed faster,
it's legal. It's safe, right? As long as it's safe.
It was doctor prescribed, so right. Why not? It's not like you're getting this competitive edge where they're going to be like, my God, this guy is getting into great shape. We're going to push him. I mean, unless you're Jinder Mahal.
Right.
Right.
Or Big Show when he came.
Have you noticed? I just want to say, Kevin Owens has got himself in good shape, as did Rusev. Both guys have lost significant weight.
Yeah, but Kevin is so back and forth.
And then there's Bray.
Bray right now is going the way of Connor. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Kevin Owens went that way for a little while.
I noticed like today when I was watching, I was like, good for him. It wasn't the round belly, it was just thickness more.
Right.
And Rusev, the same thing. Rusev's in fucking great shape.
That's true. All right, Ken, I hate to cut you off, but we are really going off on a tangent. We're nowhere near back to Daniel Bryan.
Floor load on Daniel Bryan. He's back. Yay.
I know. We should move on to our next topic then instead of these tangents.
Were you fucking most of the show or Christ?
I don't know. You know, sometimes I just let you, you know, we go off on tangents. It's fun. Whatever. Who cares? Yeah. I just realized, though, we've been talking for 25 minutes almost. And
we've accomplished nothing.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I think 7 of those 25 minutes were us talking about things that had nothing to do with Daniel Bryan. Good for us. Exactly. All right.
Well, let's going from something that was important to something that's even more important.
Exactly. Let's move on.
Hey, Russ.
Yeah, what?
Sticking with importance. Can you tell us I don't know, let us know who you thought was your man crush of the week?
Yes, man crush of the week. Well, we are, and I think this is going to lead us into an even more important topic for this week. So everything
no
we talked about this
whatsoever,
point,
I'm sure, right?
No tangents. This week, my man crush of the week is none other than Jeff Hardy. Yes, that's right, Jeff Hardy. First of all, looked fantastic as Brother Nero. Although, is he Brother Nero? I didn't hear.
He would have to be Brother Nero if he was on the compound, yes.
Okay. So as Brother Nero, looked fantastic. And honestly, the real reason I chose him as my man crush of the week, I don't think we'll ever see him again. He was on for what, 5 minutes? Not even?
Minutes? Like 10 seconds?
Oh, okay. It was even shorter. I thought maybe he was on again.
No,
like, during
it was
part
just
of the match.
It was maybe 5 seconds. It was really quick.
Okay. That's why I chose it. I saw him. I was like, oh, they did show him. And then nothing. And I was like, I'll never see him again. So I was like, I better man crush him.
Alcohol's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. So, Jeff Hardy, Man Crush of the Week. Looked good as your brother Nero, but I'll never see him again, so.
Hey, he could return as Willow.
He could.
I feel like he had another name in TNA as well, so, I mean, he can sign a contract under different aliases. WWE doesn't do background checks, I don't
That's
think.
True. He could come back as brother Nero.
Right, like, they're like, oh, where are you from? Parts unknown.
Okay.
You don't know where you came from? Nope, I have no idea. All right, we're not going to bother to check.
Yeah, you look familiar, but you look like Jeff Hardy. No, I'm Brother Nero. I get that a lot, though. Okay, Brother Nero, you're in.
It's like, so what's your name? Isaac Yankum. Okay, you're signed. Oh, we're firing you, Isaac Yankum. What's your name? Fake Diesel. All right, we'll sign you. We don't like you. What's your name? I'm Undertaker's brother. Yeah, what's your name? Kane. Okay, we'll sign you. And they don't do any background checks. So.
Exactly. Oh, my God. It makes so much sense now. These weren't wrestlers that had different personas. Oh, my God. Braun Strowman was one, too. Because they hired him on as a Rosebud. Yeah, we're not going to do the Rosebud. Sorry, guys. You're all fired. Braun comes back, tries the trick himself. Who are you? I'm Braun Strowman. Okay, come on in.
Are you the mountain from Game of Thrones? Yes. Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Oh, God. All right, so let's talk about this match because...
All right, Ultimate Deletion.
I have a lot of thoughts, but you may as well get through your thoughts first because I'm just going to go off.
Okay, I will let you go off on this. I have had a very difficult time trying to find this. So, I did have it on my television. I did see... it going on my television. But I don't remember half of it. It was bad. This was boring. It was not what they should. I thought WWE would have blown this out of the water. Blown it out of the water. And they basically did a rehash of the compound match against, I don't know who it was, but I don't remember who it was. Who was the compound match against in TNA?
Wyatt's versus New Day?
No, in TNA.
Oh, well, I mean, they've done numerous ones.
That but the one with, I know, the original.
They did,
one.
Abyss and Crazy Steve was really good. There was probably like five of them, though.
Yeah, there was one, though. It felt like a rehash of it. I was like, but worse. Like, this just wasn't exciting. But what I also found hilarious, though, was there was a sanctioned WWE ref. Which was
well,
just hilarious.
Didn't you pay attention last week when Kurt Angle assigned that referee that job?
No, I missed that too, apparently, but...
Yeah, they made a big deal of it, but they didn't even show, like... All right, going into mode.
Do you want me to finish what I was thinking, and then you want to
go
off?
Yeah, go for it, because
right.
I got...
Okay, I know. So, I wanted to watch it again, so I was like, okay, I missed this. I need to watch it again, because I need to see this. It's a big topic this week. So I figured it would be on Hulu. So I watched Russ. I rewatched the bits of Raw I kind of missed on Hulu, and so I'm getting towards the end. And I'm like, oh great! And then I see there's like 3 minutes left. And I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure this match lasted longer than 3 minutes. And then it goes through. It wasn't on the Hulu episode. They completely took it off. So I was like, what the hell's going on? So then I went to some of my favorite forums. Right? I was like, okay, maybe I can find it on one of these. I heard so many people complain about this thing. And I was like, okay, it's the internet, so I know people complain about everything. I saw so many people complain about it, and then I saw people say that Michael Cole apologized for it on air at the time. So I'm like, was it so bad there that they had to apologize, and they just said, screw it, this never happened? This is like Sister Abigail, except they didn't get to show us Sister Abigail, which pisses me off, frankly. But was it really that bad, and they're just going to go away from this? So, I don't know. So, Kat... Are you prepared? You look like you've been prepared. Get ready. I'm gonna go quiet. I want you to rant.
All right. So I've watched every one of these types of matches that they had in TNA, and a lot of them, by and large, were very entertaining. They always added new things. I think it was like the last one they had, like the Rock and Roll Express randomly show up. Like they had like guest appearances and shit. Hornswoggle showed up. They did a lot of fucking zany, wacky things. And it had its charm, but its charm was only charming in the world of lower end professional wrestling, not WWE wrestling. I don't want to say lower end, but not WWE. It worked on a lower scale. So WWE, you're sitting there expecting them to go fucking balls out, right? Well, here's the thing. Matt's wife actually filmed and edited the whole goddamn thing. Like, they didn't have professional editors. They had her do it, which she did fine. Nothing against her. But that seemed a little weird. All the stuff that was known, like, if you've watched any of them, you will have known that Senior Benjamin, who is Rebby's father in real life, he always plays, like, this funny role, and all he did was poke around the water for Bray. Like, that was his whole role. It was like, really? Senior Benjamin's fucking awesome, and they made him into nobody. And they didn't have the zany, wacky things. Yeah, they had the fucking ball rockets or whatever. That was fine, but there wasn't enough callbacks. The whole world in his hands thing, that wasn't bad. But then they did the flashback to the compound and then the fire, and I'm like, is Randy Orton going to be coming out? Because why are you showing us the fucking... Why didn't we see the referee show up? Because that was another hallmark of some of these previous matches, was like the referee showing up like, why the fuck am I even here? Like, they took all the heart and soul out of what made these matches so popular to begin with, and they WWE'd the shit out of it, but not in a good way. And, God, I don't know who I feel worse for. Honestly, who do you feel worse for right now? Matt Hardy or Bray Wyatt? Mute button's a hell of a thing.
So I'm going to say that... I'm going to say I feel bad for Bray. Matt Hardy's had a lifetime of successes. Bray just keeps on falling into pits of despair with every single stupid decision they make for his character. They literally just need to wipe the Bray Wyatt being creepy off the plate and just start him over as something else, because this is awful. They're trying to make another Undertaker out of him, but this isn't working. It's worse and worse and worse. So
the whole thing that made Bray cool was that he like had like this cult following. Well, where the fuck's his cult following? He hasn't had a cult following in forever.
Right, well, and the other thing, too, for Bray is that he always acts like he's this, you know, indestructible monster, and he loses all the time. So it's at the point, it's like, okay, yeah, nobody believes you. And they're also like, oh, he's so creepy. Creepy what? He's a loser. He loses all the time. So
it's funny because he posted on Twitter today, he's like, he asked fans to vote who he'd go after next. And the three nominees were Michael Cole, Vince McMahon, and Roman Reigns. Michael Cole won. Yeah. I don't know. This...
What was with this...
Will we see Bray again for... Do you think we're going to see Bray again for a while? Like, they need to give him a break or something, right?
They need to. They need to... Give him till after WrestleMania. Maybe shake him up. Put him on SmackDown. And he can become a third Bludgeon Brother or something.
Yeah.
Because...
He'd be Bray Bludgeon. That is easy to say.
Yeah. Now, do you know anything about this Michael Cole thing?
No.
Because apparently it must have been staged. I think it might have been staged. Who knows?
It might have been. I don't know.
Oh. Like, he called it obnoxious and he apologized.
I don't know if anybody's being obnoxious on the announce team. It's Corey Graves.
Well, he's always obnoxious. Absolutely.
Like, he just started shit with Taz for no reason.
I heard. So weird. These guys in there.
Why Taz? Taz is awesome.
Okay. So, I don't know. Did you at least find it entertaining? There were moments I thought, okay, when I was paying attention, it was okay. But the bottle rockets weren't as fun. I was just like, they've done this already.
All I will say is this. If you've never seen a deletion match on the compound, go search them out. If you want to rewatch it from last night, probably you check out something like Bali Rules. And just look at Bali Rules and you'll find his lovely site full of lots of pop-ups. But you'll get the video footage you want. all in all, I don't know if they're ever going to want to do another Ultimate Deletion. That was a really... They kind of screwed Matt and Bray big time. I feel WWE did them really badly there. Which doesn't make sense, because had they done it right...
Could have been great.
It could have been great, and they could have built off it. I mean, for fuck's sakes, this is really bad when I have to say TNA did a million times better than WWE.
Yeah, and that's bad, because WWE has production value. I thought for sure we'd get a decent production value out of this.
Like, Vanguard 1 didn't do hardly anything, either.
Nope.
I love Vanguard 1.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of upset about that. They had it for, like, what, in the beginning, and that was basically it? One point in the middle?
Yeah, that was it. Everything that made it charming, they just said, no, we're just going to try to have, like, a wrestling match. I didn't understand, like, what the fuck was the big deal about the goddamn wheelchair versus the riding lawnmower? I didn't even understand that.
I didn't get that either.
Was there a joke to that?
The mower of lawns, first of all.
Yeah, my bad.
And the chair of wheels.
What the fuck did he call him? The consumer of... It wasn't planets. It was consumer of something. Because it was like...
Not worlds. Yeah, it wasn't worlds. It was a consumer of...
Universes, maybe?
Or celestials, I can't remember.
Something like that, yeah. Which...
Yeah.
His lines are fucking hilarious. Like...
Yeah.
I hate giving Matt Hardy credit, but his shit's fucking funny when they let him be funny.
Yeah. It wasn't terrible. From what I saw, like I said, it wasn't terrible. It wasn't great. Like, it should have been hilariously great. I would have been pissed if I bought tickets to that Raw.
Well, here's the big question. Are you at least happy that this wasn't on WrestleMania?
Oh, God. This would have been, if it was on WrestleMania, you could literally call Bray the opposite of Taker, because everything he does gets worse and worse and worse. So.
Yeah. I think the comparison of Bray and Taker needs to just
die.
It needs to, because they had their one opportunity to make Bray something of a phenom, and they didn't do that.
Right. They dropped it like a hot potato. Or Page sex tape, yes. So
transvestite. I mean, let's just get all the jokes out.
Transvestites.
Yeah.
Kent loves them.
Yeah.
Especially Filipino ones.
Yeah.
Still talks to them.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Got it through. Good.
Yeah.
All right. Well, with that pause in the deletion, why don't we move on to Carrie's corner? That's right. Carrie's not here, but she still has a corner. So, Kent, I believe you're taking over for Carrie's corner.
You're damn right. I just shoved that bitch out of the way. I was like, Carrie, go do your fucking homework. I got this. So, representing Carrie's corner this week, we had the finals of the New Japan Pro Wrestling New Japan Cup 2018, and we saw Zack Sabre Jr. defeat Hiroshi Tanahashi in the main event. And right after that, this was the exciting part, Zach called out the champ, Okada. So, we're looking for a fucking solid match, maybe 13 kickouts, we don't know, but we're excited for it.
Is this that guy good?
Who, Zach?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's really great.
Awesome.
I think, you know, he needs a few years in Japan, but... he could develop into an elite level. He's not being the elite.
Right.
Okay, but, I mean, who is?
Right.
And, you know, just to run down the rest of that card of that night, you had Shota Umino defeated Tetsuhiro Yagi, and then Taichi defeated Tomiyuku Oka, and then Tanga Lo... Yujiro Takahashi and Bad Luck Fail defeated Michael Elgin, Toa Henare, and Togi Makabe. I know it sounds like I don't know these names, but rest assured, I know these names.
I was about to say, you did a beautiful job with those names. I would have never known you were just looking at a screen and reading them off.
You had Killer Elite Squad defeated Toru Yano and Tomohiro Ishii. David Finley, who is Fit Finley's son, along with Juice Robinson, defeated Hiroki Goto and Yoshihashi. Los Ingobern... We're skipping that match. Chucky T and... We're skipping that match. And that main event.
Wow.
And that was Kerry's corner this week.
Awesome. It's like Kerry's here.
Yeah.
It was clear you knew exactly what you were talking about.
Seriously, I'm cutting and pasting like the names here, and look at... You'll see the two words that I clearly got stuck on.
Okay, all right. I'm curious about this one, definitely.
I'd love to hear your take on the... What's the all word right. after Los?
Los Ingobernable de Japón?
And then Chucky T and...
Ingobernable?
Ingobernables?
Yeah, Ingobernables, maybe, yeah.
Okay, and then what's... Okay, Chucky T and who?
Defeated Suzuki Gun, Chucky T and Kazuki.
Yeah. See, this is why we had to skip this shit, because I don't know.
But he has the same last name as Okada. Come on.
Don't be a racist. Hey, it's Women's History Month.
Yay, we had to change the name of a women's match, too, for that.
Hashtag me too.
Oh, man. All right. So, Kerry's corner. Check. Like, Kerry was here.
I'm doing her proud, I think.
I think so. If she doesn't like it, I don't know how she can.
Right.
I'm dumbfounded. She'd be like, wow, can't she take over the corner every week?
Yeah, exactly. All right, so what's next? We got the big thing, right?
We're going to evaluate. We're going to go Raw versus SmackDown. Who won? Did Raw win or did SmackDown? We're going to tally up points. I think that's the only fair way of doing this.
Do you want to tally start. Or are we going to grade them and average out the grade?
You want to grade them then? Okay, so you want to do it like a grade 1 out of 100 where 90
ABCD.
To 100? Okay. All right.
I think that's fair.
Okay. Flair. So we're going to do Raw to SmackDown. So these are all the people who were on Raw, went to SmackDown. We're going to evaluate basically their runs, what have they been doing, things like that. And we're going to give them each a letter grade, A, B, C, D, E, and F. Or A, B, C, D, and F.
And we'll take our average.
Right.
Between you and me. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we'll give a winner. So, this is SmackDown, because SmackDown got these people, right? So, we're assuming this is SmackDown's grade. All right. So, this is going to be SmackDown's grade. Let's start with, in order, Kevin Owens. He came in as the United States champion, because it was whoever won the match between Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho was officially on SmackDown. Kevin won.
And technically, didn't they end up getting Jericho anyways after
that? Yes. So,
that has to be part of this grade, I feel.
Okay, so you want Jericho too? All right, we'll start.
I think that's fair because he. All right. Yeah.
Well, let's start with Kevin Owens then, and then we'll go to Jericho.
Easy A.
I mean, let's face it. He went from United States champion to being a good, great foil to. Well, okay, I take that back. He went to basically being Shane McMahon and him. Having a long, long feud. I mean long. Which is okay, because it hasn't been terribly boring, except for 3 months out of it, which they stalled the shit out of it. But Kevin was still great all that time. And he was also in the mix for the title several times in the past few months. So, great for him. So I'm going to have to say he's definitely an A. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, he was the top heel for SmackDown of the... WrestleMania calendar year, which goes WrestleMania to WrestleMania, I would say that's their calendar year. He's definitely their number one heel.
Yes.
Consistently, you know, doing dastardly things that, you know, somebody like Jinder only wishes he could do.
Right.
If you think about it, who is even the number two heel? Is it Sammy? Is it Jinder? Like, it's kind of been a shit fest. Like, Kevin Owens has been holding down the fucking heel four on SmackDown.
Yeah, and he hasn't even been the main focus as a heel, so...
Yeah, kudos to him.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Chris Jericho.
I'm not going to grade him.
So, hold on. I said, I'm not counting him. You go, he counts, and then you're not grading him.
He only had, like, what, two or three matches?
Yeah, exactly. That's why. Exactly. If he was there, they would have used him, but he's not there. So it's not really a... He's not really a part of this. All right, let's go to the next one, which I know we're going to love. Charlotte Flair. I'll let you start.
So this week on The Walking Dead, we saw some fucking new level of some silly shit going on. Negan and the Saviors are on their way to the hilltop with their new weapons tainted in Walker blood, and Rick Grimes sees them, and he gets his car, or his SUV, and he has a high-speed chase, Fast and Furious style, with Negan. And they end up in this abandoned building, and Negan loses Lucille, and Rick ends up with Lucille. And Rick lights Lucille on fire. Dun, dun, dun! And at the end, Negan goes out. He gets out before Rick does, after they have tons of silly fucking dialogue and a little bit of a brawl. And then Negan immediately gets captured by Jadis. So that was fun. And then to celebrate Women's History Month, they had this awful, awful stuff with all women for many scenes, including Maggie, Michonne, Enid, and this new group. An older lady named Georgie and her two sidekicks, Midge and somebody else, and they held the Key to the Future, which was a booklet telling them, like, how to grow stuff, how to build, like, windmills and stuff, how to be sustainable once again. And while that has some excitement and it could possibly lead to, as you know, like, you know, this year that Walking Dead and the comics started this whole new thing because there's that New Frontier or whatever, rumor right. is that she may be, that may be where her character fits in. Who knows? I don't really care anymore. I'm sick of women's empowerment. Like,
but they're women and they need power.
Yeah, go power women. All right, so overall, I have to give this an F. And it's not because I hate Charlotte. Okay? But if I honestly say, has the SmackDown Women's Division done anything remotely exciting with Charlotte this whole past calendar year? No. The only person that's been kind of remotely relevant was Carmella. And that was it. Like, the women's division went from really great to complete shit. So I have to give this an F. What do you think?
All right. So I've been thinking about this. And if I were to give it just as for Charlotte, for her personal self, it's an A. She's had a great run for herself. I mean, basically a couple months after she got there, she got the belt and she's held the belt ever since. So for her, I'd say it's an A. If you're looking at it as a division, I'd have to say, I'm not going to be as harsh as you, but I'm going to say it was a C. It's killed the division, but I don't think that's all her fault. They did take away quite a bit of good talent. But they, instead of them giving her competition that's worth it, they kind of just were like, okay, these guys are scrubs, go have fun. And they gave her nothing, and it's been terrible. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Asuka. Asuka's basically just going to walk all over them because it's just as bad.
Didn't Charlotte come over really just screw Becky over more than anybody else?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Becky got boned hardcore. So, yeah, and that's the worst part. Who knows? But Becky and her are best friends, so I guess she doesn't care that much.
All right, so what are you giving her for a final grade?
All right, so as a final grade, I'm going to give her a C. I'm not doing any C pluses or anything like crap like that.
All right, so average it out, she's getting a D then.
Okay, so we'll say D. All right, let's move on to the New Day. We're going to grade them all as a group, right? Because individually they've done really nothing. So we'll say the New Day. I'll start. I will say, man. They've given us some fantastic matches. They really stepped up the game for SmackDown's tag team division because it was garbage before they actually got there. I'm giving them an A. They rose the bar of that SmackDown division. Usos came out of nowhere. I came from a point with the Usos where I was sick of them to them coming as heels and be like, okay, this is a joke, to becoming one of my favorite tag teams again. So, and I think New Day really helped with that. Has it gotten a little stale? Yes, but that's not really their fault. I'm giving them an A.
Yeah, I mean, worst case is I could give them a B because it's stale at times, but without them, I don't know if the Usos would have rose up. And I was thinking, like, last night as I was listening to the Usos, I was thinking, if I was making a top 10 tag team list of all time, the Usos could possibly be on that list. That's how fucking good they have become. Even I put them higher than New Day. But, as you said, and as I said, their ascension was only due to, not the ascension, but to New Day.
Right.
So, yeah, I say an A.
All right, let's move on to Rusev Day, or just Rusev, actually, because Aiden was already there. Rusev, Kent.
I mean, I'm not going to get caught up in the fucking everything because they went months. If we're going to the whole calendar year, they went months underutilizing him. And now he's the most overact. Well, until Daniel came back, he was the most overact on SmackDown. And they still didn't do anything with him. They just were like, you be Luke Harper from last year. You give Shinsuke and AJ some good matches here in February and March. But, you're just going to be in the battle royal. While Rusev has entertained us, I can't go higher than a C. Like, I think C is fair because of how good the past few months have been, but prior to that, the 9 months before that, he was dog shit.
I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to say C, too. For, like, everything, yes, Rusev Day is great, and it's been amazing, but that hasn't helped him elevate his game, or it hasn't gotten him to the point where it should have gotten him. He should be top heel against the likes of AJ and Shinsuke, yes, but not losing to them daily every Thursday, or Tuesday, wow. Still stuck on that Thursday.
Like, shouldn't he possibly be, like, involved in, like, the Jinder, Randy, and Bobby? Like, couldn't they just made it a four-way and included
Rusev, absolutely. It would have made a lot of sense. They didn't. I don't know. I feel bad for him. He was, and here's the other thing. He was doing decent on Raw, wasn't he? Or were they starting to lose him there too?
They lost him there too. And the thing was that Rusev and Jinder were a tag team for a bit until I think it was who got injured. One of them got injured.
Jinder.
Yeah. So, no.
Was it? Yeah. Maybe it was.
Well, Rusev hurt his foot at one point. I think Jinder got hurt.
Jinder got hurt, and then he was gone for a while, and then he came back as champion, basically.
Yeah. The thing is that they could have done so many cool things right now. Like, if they built a program with Baron versus Rusev right now, could I possibly even consider higher than a C? Yes, but because they're still not doing anything with them. No. C is fair.
It is. All right. Lana. I'll start. God. Okay. Her stock plummeted. So, F.
Yeah, that's what I'd like. Yeah.
Yeah, for other reasons other than the letter grade.
I mean, it's either that or I give her the D.
Right.
So, and that's the thing. I almost want to give her a D because she debuted and got championship matches. For having zero in-ring talent. Like, kudos to her. Painful as it was for us to watch. But I'm going to give her a D for this reason. When given the opportunity, she did make Tamina actually appear more legit. So I will give her a D. I don't know how we average this out.
Okay, I'll simply say mine was a high F, so I'll go with the D. I think if we can agree on a grade.
Just round up?
Yep. So, I agree. I was saying high F anyway, but I couldn't get to that D. We'll give her the D. So, Lana gets the D.
My much.
You know, it's funny. It sounds like we planned this out to make it sound like it was a dirty joke.
There was honestly, no planning.
There was no planning at all. So that was just it. All right. Next is Sami Zayn. Kent.
A.
I think that's obvious.
No, actually, you know what? No, B.
Okay.
He was irrelevant for so long.
Yeah, because it wasn't the whole point of taking him off of Raw. They're like, yeah, we're going to turn you into... And then, like, months of nothing, right?
Like, he was in that Money in the Bank ladder match in, what, June or whatever. And then, like, he kind of fell back into obscurity again. And then he got partnered with KO in the fall. But for the first 6 months, he really didn't do jack shit. So, although, like, recent memory makes me want to say A, like I did, a B is more than fair.
Yeah,
his feud with Baron was really good.
Yep.
That was the best thing he did prior to teaming with KO, though.
Right, I think the last half has saved him. If you just look at the last half, A, definitely. I mean, I never would have thought he'd be a great heel. He is a perfect heel.
I couldn't agree more. I really was shocked that he turned out to be as good of a heel as he did.
Yep.
He's obnoxious, annoying.
Yeah, it's so well done. So well done. Which is funny because he's basically being the same thing as he was before, except now it's not goofy. Now it's annoying. Really well done. I'm going to still say the B because you're right. The first half of the year, you got to look at the whole year. It's definitely a B. So, but that he went from a D, FD to a B. So that's really good.
I agree.
All right, these next ones are going to be real easy. All right, Shining Stars.
Who?
Exactly. Are they still part of the WWE?
I'm just giving an F.
Yeah, F, right? F. All right, next is Sin Cara.
Who? Wait, are you talking about Kalisto, the savior of the 205 division?
No, not Kalisto, unfortunately. Oh. No.
Wait, Sin Cara. No. Sin Cara's gonna D. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
For 1 month, he had that good feud with Baron Corbin. What the fuck? Baron Corbin was in...
Was it this year?
It was in the fall. Remember, they had like some like extreme rules, like no holds barred match or something, and like they beat the shit out of
him. Oh, yeah, that was decent, but that was it. I'll say a D on that one. I can give you.
Isn't it weird, though, that Baron's been involved in good stuff, yet we consider his year wasted entirely?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's because he didn't get his Money in the Bank opportunity, and he fell into obscurity.
Yeah.
It's a shame. All right, next one. This one might be a little bit more difficult. Jinder Mahal. This one's tough.
Yeah, how about you take the reins?
All right, I'll take this one. I'll take the reins on this one. This one's tough. All right, if you're looking at Jinder Mahal himself, A. 100% A. He went from obscurity on Raw doing nothing to being the top dog on SmackDown. So for him, A. For us, ouch. It was the worst title run in recent history. I don't know if it's his fault. I'm going to blame him because he was the champion. And honestly, that's an F. I mean, all right, I'm being mean. I'll say D. It wasn't that bad at all times. So I'll say D. So I'm going to give him a C overall because the A for himself does not come close to what he ruined SmackDown for several months. So I'm being generous with a C.
I may surprise you here.
Okay.
I'm going to give him an A. I'll tell you why. First and foremost, right before he got traded, he came back in ridiculous shape and almost won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal until Rob Gronkowski just said he was going to show up. So, he almost won that. Then he goes to SmackDown and he gets... The Singh brothers, and he becomes this fucking force of nature with Push. Now, we all agree that his title run was complete shit. But while we're saying that his title run was complete shit, we're not looking at the outcome of what we're getting now. We're now getting a total package Jinder that we wouldn't have had without that terrible title run. So it's like, this is really hard. It's like... So many goods and bads, but if I would have told you last April, hey, one of the best things that's going to happen to SmackDown is they're going to pick up Jinder Mahal. You would have punched me repeatedly in the face.
I'd still punch you in the face.
Right.
The only, I mean, the only thing now is that he feels legitimate now since he's had the belt. So when he's in a feud, now it feels like, okay, it's worth it because he's in it. You know what I mean? It, which is weird because we all know it's fake, but it feels like he's legitimate now going for that United States Championship. So
Randy did a hell of a job in making... And he also brought back the Great Khali for one night.
Yes.
So I'm going to give him an A because he's the only person on this list that won a world title.
That's true. Well, other than Charlotte Flair.
Yeah, but her dad.
That's true. All right, so we'll say B overall.
Yeah, I think B is fair.
Okay, B is fair. I don't think it is. I'm going to go with it. All right, last one for SmackDown, Tamina. All right, to be fair, I'm going to say, all right, low C. So you're going to be really tough to push me up. Low C. Here's the reason why.
You went higher than I thought.
Okay, well, I was debating high D, low C, but I was like, okay, I'll just average to a C. Here's the reason why. In the beginning, when they both came over, Lana and Tamina, they were doing things with her, and they were starting to make her look really decent. I don't know if she's injured or what now, and that's the problem. She's gone, and they just like completely dropped her.
She is very injury prone.
Yes, and I think that's the biggest problem. But they were starting to intrigue me with her when she was just getting going, and all of a sudden just dropped. So for me, I'll give her a C on that one. It's a low C, really low. You're not going to talk me into a B unless you give her an A, so...
Nope, I was going to give her a D, because her injuries, she didn't... She felt relevant for maybe 2, maybe 3 months out of the whole calendar year. I can't give her higher than a D, just because she didn't feel relevant for most of that time. And the few times she could have been relevant, then they brought up the fucking Riot Squad, and, like... The division has just been a mess, and I don't blame her. The booking has been so bad, so it's not her fault. But, I mean, we blame Jinder for how bad his run is. If we're going to blame Jinder, we got to blame Tamina. Plus, okay, her father killed a woman and never got convicted.
That's true. So we should blame her.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, combined, I guess we got to go with a C.
Do we? Was yours a high D?
No, my...
Because mine's a low C. I could be pushed back down to a D, honestly.
Let's give her the D, then.
All right. She gets the D. Notice how the women got the D.
That except is pretty...
Even Charlotte Flair. Yeah, every woman got a D.
That's hilarious.
Again, not planned at all.
I guarantee you there's a woman on Raw that is not getting the D.
That's true, yes. There's several women that aren't getting the D, right. I think. I wish I was giving them the D. But...
So overall, if you average that all out, what would you give it? Would you say it's probably right around a B? I think the
B. Hold on. Why don't we do this? I'm going to start you on Raw. I'm going to do a quick tally.
Okay.
And then we'll see what it is. All right. So now, these are the people who went from SmackDown to Raw. All right. Not as... Is it the exact same many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Wow, no. More people went to SmackDown from Raw than SmackDown to Raw, which I guess makes sense, duh, now that I think about it, but... All right. So, Kat, I'm going to start you off with The Miz and Maryse. Go.
Oh, no, I think I'd have to be a complete idiot to not say an A. When you think back on the past calendar year, he's everything that Kevin Owens has been, only on Raw. And no matter what he does, it seems relevant. In the same way that everything that Kevin Owens typically does seems relevant, even if it's not the main event, it feels relevant. And The Miz is a master at getting his opponent to matter. And... I did not think I'd be this excited for this match at WrestleMania. I'm excited. And, I mean, the one thing I would say that's negative, and this would be a very low A, is that, god damn rivalry with Dean fucking Ambrose. But and at the end of the day, adding Maurice was such a fucking... It was a game changer. Maurice is amazing, so I have to go with an A.
I think you'd be dumb not to, because... Yes, you're right. The Dean and Miz, that was aggravating as all hell. And then he went away for a while. I could see you could give him a B because he went away a while. He had that huge, horrible, not horrible, but it was just overdone feud with Dean. And then he went away for a while. So there's a lot of time in there that's really bad for him. So I could see a B. But once he came back from the movie and... won the Intercontinental Championship. He has just been on fire. He is so good. And even when he was bad, he was still one of the better parts of this. So I'm going to go A, too.
I mean, he formed the Miztourage, too. Like, that happened this past calendar year.
Yes, that's right. Miztourage is awesome. So, okay, the Miz is A. I do have a SmackDown grade.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's like a B minus would be my guess.
Close. C plus.
All those women really brought it down.
The women brought it down, yes. There were, okay, ready? Two A's, two B's, one C, three D's, one F. Those three D's brought it down from a B minus. I was going to say B minus at first, but I was like, there's three D's.
Yeah.
So.
And if you think about it, that's the whole story of SmackDown, is that the women haven't been able to keep make... That show's been awful when the women have been on, by and large.
Yep.
And that reflects in our grades. So I think that's a very fair grade.
Absolutely. C plus. All right. But now, Raw started off strong. A. But so did SmackDown. All right. Dean Ambrose. I'll start. All right. This one's a tough one. Injured. It's really hard to call someone when they're injured, especially when he is so popular and so good. If he wasn't injured, he'd definitely be going doing something right now. But you got to count the injury in. Ah, God, I want to say high C, low B. Just because it's Dean, I want to say B. But God, he had that terrible feud with The Miz. No, not terrible. Again, it wasn't terrible, just monotonous. No, I'm going to go C. I'm sorry. Injury. Killed him.
What I'm about to say will surprise you.
Okay.
You know that Dean's my favorite out of the Shield.
Of course.
He always has been, always will, I hope. The Miz feud happened. The injury happened. But we're forgetting something that happened in between those two
things. Oh, yes.
Will they or will they not touch each other's butts? The storyline that never seemed to end after the storyline that never seemed to end. Oh, my God. Week after week, will they touch each other? No. And then yes. Mm-mm. And then they... Did they win tag team championships? Or
no, it was he got injured before it. They were going to. Then okay. They had switched it with Jason Jordan.
So
it stopped all proper. Every time they try, I think the Shield now is a curse. Every time they try to get together, something happens. So
yeah, I'm sorry, Dean had a really bad year. I'm giving it a D.
Ooh. Didn't all right, coming, so, did you? No, I would have thought maybe C, B. I thought you were honestly going B. I couldn't justify a B after thinking about it.
I'm just thinking, like, of the whole year. He didn't accomplish jack shit. He was stuck in really bad feuds. I don't blame him, but he was stuck in really bad feuds.
Oh, SmackDown. Raw's got some stinkers, so.
And all right, yet it's so what so much say? Better.
What?
And yet it's such a better show now.
I know, but I'm looking at all these names. There's no way this is winning. Just based off of the names. All right, so what would we say? Are you relinquishing to low C?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Okay. Because it is Dean. I mean, we don't know what could have happened the last few months if he wasn't injured, so. All right, ready? Bray Wyatt. I'll let you go.
Oh. I'm going to ask you, who has Bray feuded with this past year?
Finn. Mm-hmm. Matt Hardy.
Mm-hmm. Can't name anybody else, can you?
Hold on.
I'm trying.
Randy Orton.
And that was at SmackDown.
Oh, he feuded with Seth, didn't he?
Did he?
I think so.
Well, that was memorable.
He certainly was, because I don't know if it happened or not.
Me neither. So, when you take into consideration that he went from world champion to being lost at sea, we never got to see the most interesting thing that could have happened.
Could have saved it. Could have saved us, yep.
Sister Abigail shows up, I'm giving this a B. This pains me. Two of my favorite fucking guys, I'm going D. I hate to say that. I love Bray. You know I love Bray.
I know. But if you think about what happened to them in the last year, I have to agree with you. I'm sorry. I was trying to justify a C. I'm like, but you're right. I can't remember any of his feuds that happened before Finn, which means they were terrible.
Yeah, I'm struggling to remember. I don't think him and Roman... I don't remember anymore.
I don't remember either. Maybe there was Roman part of it, but I know like the Shield kind of got into the mix a little bit.
God damn it. I mean, when you can't remember, though, it's just not a good sign.
Right, but here's the worst part. The one that could have saved this, Sister Abigail, which we were getting involved in, screwing around with it or not, I mean, we silly talked ourselves into that match, basically, by the podcast.
We did.
But when they didn't deliver, I was pissed.
Absolutely. And the thing is that you kind of see through Bray's body language, I don't think he's very happy right now.
No.
I think he's kind of disgruntled.
But the other part is, too, this isn't a terrible feud with Matt Hardy. It's just so underplayed and dumb.
Yeah, it's a shame on all levels, and I can't think of a person that needs a change in brands more than Bray. Because yeah. Bray
came from a brand.
Be an A guy. And next year, when
but
we
he only
this,
on SmackDown.
He could possibly be an A.
He could.
But right now,
I doubt it.
I gotta go D. I don't know. What do you got?
It's bad. D. No, totally D. 100% D. I can't say F because he's on the television. He's doing things. And I loved... I mean, yeah, we talked ourselves into it. But I loved Finn and Bray. I thought that was great. And then they screwed us out of it. And then I'm okay with what he's doing now. It just doesn't feel like how it should feel because Bray is nothing now.
Bray should be upper mid-card at all times.
Yes.
And he just feels like he's fallen by the wayside.
Yep. So D's all around on that one. All right. Here's an easy A. Alexa Bliss.
A.
I mean, there's...
There is not a person that switched brands that made a bigger impact than Alexa Bliss.
Yeah.
Nobody on either side made a bigger impact to their division and their brand than she did. Because the Raw Women's was just Charlotte versus Sasha endlessly. And then she comes in and she makes everybody better. Even though her matches, when she never hasn't wrestled somebody for like... The first two matches are always awkward. Eventually, she gets into a flow. But on top of that, she is so charismatic and so good on the mic and so good at her character. And she is so good looking.
Yes.
All these things. If we did pluses and minuses, she would be an A+. I can't rate her any higher.
She's a high A. But here's my problem, though. Here's the only thing that I would drop her to a B for me. And I don't even know if I could drop her to a B. There was 3 months around November where Raw just dropped her like a bad habit for some reason. She didn't lose the belt or anything, but she was not a focus, which is not good. But that's also when the division struggled too. So them not focusing on her is on them. We can't blame
how valuable she is.
Right. So, and once they put the focus back on her, the women are really interesting right now in Raw. I actually enjoy the Raw women.
I'm usually very snarky about women's wrestling, but when it's good, like it is right now, it's really good.
Yep. All right. Mickie James. All right. I'm going to say B. Not as impactful as Alexa Bliss, but she's done things on Raw recently. Oh, but she did so little in the beginning. I'm almost talking myself down to a C. No, I'm going to keep B. No, because she's put on some really good, decent matches, too. Like, her in that Elimination Chamber match was great. Her last half really brought up her B. So, high C, low B. That's where I'm at. But I'm going to say B.
For as little as they did the first half of the year with her, she was just a person that they could throw into tag team matches to further feuds. The second half has been gold. Let's not forget when she was still a face, her and Bliss had a really good match at a pay-per-view. I think it was in December. That got no real recognition, but it was a really good match. And then she did like that post-match promo. Nothing happened, and then suddenly she's a heel.
Yes.
And I don't know if I need to factor that in my grade, but she looked so good in leather like two weeks ago. And it's Mickey fucking James, and I love her so much.
I
that
know you do.
I'm going B, and it's probably for B for bias, but I don't give a shit. No, I really like Mickey.
I can see where you're going, B, but I'm barely in the Bs. Like, if I were giving it to her, I could see giving her a B.
I could see her getting, like, if we were given numbers, I would give, like, a 79 or 80. Like,
yeah. I was thinking, like, 79 is the perfect grade for her, I honestly think. So I'll go B for that. That's fine. That's close enough to a B. So it's a low B, so we'll kick that into account when we do grades. All right. Let's do. All right, here comes the.
Here comes the pain.
Here it comes. Ready? Well, this isn't terrible, but Apollo Crews. Did I go first last time? Yes. So you go.
Okay. He's an easy C for me, and I'll tell you, it's mainly because he got with Titus Worldwide, and it really helped him. When they were doing the. Matches to get into Elimination Chamber, he really showcased a lot of talent. When he was in the ring with guys, I want to say like he had a match with Seth, a match with Finn. When he was in with guys that could work with him, that were a little smaller, that could just go, Apollo really showed a lot. But when he is stuck in bad feuds or when he's just jobbing to the bar, it's tough. C might even be generous, but I'm going to go C.
All right. I am going to say C, too. It's amazing how our grades are kind of similar. I mean, maybe it's not that amazing, but...
No, normally we're feuding, so it's odd right now.
Well, you're right with the C, but I disagree with you, kind of what you're going with it. I actually thought his push to the bar... Granted, it was to lose. Was a good showcase for him, and it gave him some exposure he really desperately needed. Smart move hooking him up with Titus. They both desperately needed each other. I loved Titus Worldwide when it was going on, when they were really focusing on it back in, summertime now? Holy crap. I thought that was really good. And then they gave them the title push recently, so... I think is a really fair grade. He's not blowing the water out of things, but they're giving him opportunities to at least improve himself. So a C is a fair grade. All right.
This is where it gets funny.
Yes. The Savior. Uh-oh. I lost my list. Where'd my list go? Oh, there it is. The Savior. Kalisto. The Savior of 205. I guess I'll go. D. I want to kind of say C because he was the Savior and it was hilarious how nobody responded to it and then nothing happened. But they've given him opportunities. But, oh my god, it was just... The one thing that sticks out with me is when they made it like Kalisto was a huge thing for 205 and crickets when they introduced him back. So, D.
I am going to go with an F.
Okay.
When you come out as a big deal and nobody reacts, that is really disheartening. When given opportunities to have decent matches with Enzo, he failed to. He really failed to have any matches that were even... anything beyond average. Like, he didn't really step up his game. He didn't really get in any better shape. He didn't get better on the mic. He didn't improve in any capacity. I think he's devolved. I don't see any redeeming qualities. When the fuck was the last time you heard from goddamn Kalisto? So,
he is on 205 now, so.
Yeah, I know, and I don't watch 205.
Right.
But, so maybe my grade is unfair, but you know what? It's not unfair in the fact that he got a lot of shine at the right time when 205 was getting shine on Raw because of Enzo, and he did not take advantage of that shining opportunity, and he was not a shining star. So much like the shining stars, I'm giving an F.
I could agree as a total grade F. It was a low D. So I'm okay with giving an F on that one. Here's the thing, though. What happened to 205 being on Raw?
I don't know, but all I want to say is in the past calendar year, they lost Neville, Enzo, and Rich Swann. They basically lost their three most charismatic people.
Yeah. And now they're not even on Raw anymore.
Right. Like, who's left? Drew Gulak? And I don't even know if Brian Kendrick gets any fucking love anymore. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Well, we're not moving much higher up the list. Heath Slater and Rhino.
Had they gone anywhere with the whole idea that Rhino was going to try to train Heath to be something better like a month or two ago, I could give it some recent momentum and say, all right, they're going to try doing something. But they're not. And they haven't. They have really given such lackluster interest in the first ever Blue Belts champion. F. I can't go. I want to give him a D. I love Ginger Rhinos, but they have given them nothing to do. That's on booking, not on them, but I'm going by what I see.
Right, you got to go by what you see, and that's the problem. With booking is screwing you, it's kind of part of it. And, yeah, I have to go with... I'm going to go with D. At least they're getting on the television and doing a few things, and they have made us laugh with some kind of funny stuff. You're right. It just didn't go anywhere. I'll give that a D. Now, the question is this an F or is it a D?
I'm fine either way. Like, I don't hate them. I just hate what's been done to them.
Right. I'll give them a D. I think that's fair.
Especially if we're giving Kalisto an F, we'll give this a D to kind of balance.
Right, because, right, I kind of make a bounce out.
All
right. All right, last one.
And most important.
Honestly, this one might be tough.
Yeah.
Depending on how you look at it. Kurt Hawkins. So, I'll go first. This one's tough. Because he hasn't won a match on Raw since he started. I don't even think he's been on Raw since he's come to Raw. But on the dark matches and in the house shows, he's on a losing streak. And it's pretty funny. And if it reaches my ears from being off camera and still talking about this losing streak, it's got to be something. And he did nothing on SmackDown, like totally nothing. So if it's a move up for him. I'm going to say C.
I don't know if I'll go as high as a C, but I'll definitely give him a D because the losing streak has been talked about numerous times. And he was backstage in that one segment when Braun was going apeshit when he got fired, and he was brilliant in that segment. And for as much as when Heath and Rhino were given opportunities, they weren't blowing us away.
No.
We said that they weren't given opportunities and that affected them, but when they were given opportunities, they weren't killing it in the ring. They were funny, they weren't killing it in the ring. When Kurt has been given opportunities, I feel like he's nailed it. He had a really good match with Finn Balor one night that I liked, and I think him and Seth had a good match.
Mm-hmm.
In his limited opportunities, his very limited opportunities, he's made the most of it. I can't go any higher than a D, though, because he hasn't had enough of an impact.
And I can... Oh, man. Ooh. All right. As I say, I can see a D. So, I've been trying to tally up while we're looking.
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. This is... Again, none of this is planned. I swear to God. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. A's. There are two of them. B's. There's one of them. So there's the difference. SmackDown's got one extra B. But Raw has one extra C, because that's two instead of one. One F and three D's. That is literally the same grade.
So does SmackDown get the edge because of that extra B over this extra C? Is that the only difference?
Yeah, so I would say this is a C. Raw gets a C.
All right, so right? SmackDown got...
So SmackDown gets a C-plus and wins.
And remember, when this first happened, we all three of us, we came on here and we all agreed that Raw fucking raped SmackDown.
Oh, Raw is the better show by 1,000 times right now.
But we thought that at that moment that they got the better end of this
trade. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We absolutely thought that.
They were getting, they got the Miz.
You were adamant. Right? You were adamant how...
Of course.
Raw SmackDown got screwed.
Because Bray was important at the time. Dean was important at the time. And Miz was important at the time. Plus Bliss and Mickey. Like, that was such a... It was a slam dunk. There was... That was such an easy thing. And now here we are licking our wounds.
Because it's close. Don't get me wrong. This was close. SmackDown won it, though. C+. I hope we get to do this again next year. This was actually kind of fun.
This was way more fun than I actually anticipated it being.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, especially with the grade. You're right. I was about to say C+, C+. It was an even tie, but you're right. Technically, an extra B to the extra C doesn't change anything. So,
by the narrowest of margins,
very. It's like a C+ to a almost C+, like almost C+.
Basically, they SmackDown won because of Jinder Mahal. And when you really think about that, that's pretty funny.
That's kind of scary. It is. Well, because again, you got to talk about their stock, too, if you think about it. Jinder Mahal did nothing in Raw except towards the end. And then did everything he could on SmackDown. So, there you go. SmackDown won the roster shakeup, according to Kent and myself.
Land of opportunity. I mean, they say it, we mock it, but Rusev's gotten more opportunity, Jinder got more opportunity, Sammy got more opportunity.
And that's the big thing. These guys who went from Raw with small fries became big things in SmackDown. It's a lot. It's really with Charlotte Flair, too, if you think about it. I know we gave her a D, but Charlotte was a good-sized fish, but in a huge pond in Raw, so she didn't shine. And now she's like this huge fish in a super small pond of SmackDown.
And she refuses to give anybody any shine.
Right,
it
yeah.
It doesn't
oh, God.
Help at all.
Well, I don't know if she refuses to give shine or she's just that bad. All right, bad
Rick
at
refuses.
Acting!
God damn her fucking acting! All right, so what we got?
All right, we're pretty much at the end of our show. Let's talk about the last thing, and it's our namesake segment, Were You Not Entertained? So this week, we're going to talk about Alexa Bliss and Asuka match. It was given time, which is rare to see these days, especially for the women, but it was given time. Were we entertained, though? So, Kent, were you not entertained by Alexa Bliss and Asuka versus Asuka? And we're including everything that happened afterwards with Nia.
And that is key to the decision that I'm giving, because match-wise, since Asuka's been on the main roster, she has not... God, it almost seems like she hasn't had much to work with. It's odd, but her matches haven't been anything great. Bliss, as you know, we've talked about, never seems to get it right the first couple of matches. It always seems a little sloppy, and then it improves. Unless it's against Bayley, then that match never improves. But so the match was kind of a dud for me, but then Nia came out and chased Bliss, and at one point Bliss slips on the outside and Nia has to like slow her fucking roll and let Bliss get back up, and then like Bliss goes outside and Nia's like, fuck, I can't get over this barricade, Then, like, 20 seconds later, she's like, oh, but I can get over this barricade. Bum dee bum dee bum. I can't fault that. Of course I was entertained. It's gold.
For all the wrong reasons, but yeah, you're entertained. All right. Was I entertained? I'll say this. The match had a lot of missed cues. I'm not even going to call them botches, because they weren't full-on botches. A lot of missed cues. There was an Asuka kick that so badly missed. And, like, you couldn't even excuse it when Bliss went down, because it was an air, like a whiff. Complete whiff, and yet they counted it. Same thing with the butt stomp, too, whatever, when Asuka does her butt thing. Completely missed Alexa.
Also, and she went down. How bad was it when, I don't know what Bliss calls it, when she does her flip and then she does the backward flip? Her backward flip was so, it looked so awkward. I don't know.
There was a fantastic move, though, in there that I loved. It was the Asuka, they were at the corner, and they did that, like, you know, flip. They reversed, and so Asuka went, got slammed. That looked really good. I thought that was really well done.
Yeah. I think they could have great matches given time, but they're not going to get the time, I don't think, yet.
Right. But here's the thing. They got the time tonight, and it wasn't terrible. What saved it for me for entertainment, and yes, I was entertained, was Nia coming out. I didn't see the fall and the slowdown, but I did notice the barracks thing. And I was like, oh my god, if they're calling her, they're basically calling her fat, that she can't get over this thing. Oh god.
But she has no problem running people through the barricade other weeks.
Right.
She's like the fucking Kool-Aid man some weeks, and then this week she's like, oh, this is too high for me.
Right, and it was just, oh, hilarious. Nia's been great.
Nia has been on fire lately. Like, Bliss, Mickey, and Nia have... God damn, Mickey took that fucking toss to the fucking the ring apron like a
champ, like a champ. Holy shit.
Wow. So I can't I don't know. It was one of the few things I remembered from Raw.
Yeah, it was good. It was good. It was worth it. I was entertained. I thought it was good.
All right.
And it really saved that first hour because that first part of it was
yes. Also, I brutal. Just want to say props to the Ronda Rousey video before Ultimate Deletion. I know you and I have talked about it.
Yep.
I thought they did a really good job with that video to the point where I was like, I don't hate Ronda so much if she would just stop pointing at signs.
And talk with a little bit more normalcy instead of her cadence as it is. You know,
Did she learn how to talk from fucking Charlotte? Like, I'm confused. Like... She should be learning from Stephanie.
Yeah, she talks like this. Oh, look, she's more monotone.
She is, yeah.
Than Charlotte.
Charlotte just screams to pretend that she's mad.
And she talks louder every time she gets mad.
She is so good.
Acting quality. All right. Well, let's finish up tonight. So, before we finish, Kent...
We do that after.
I know. What aren't you finished with? By, well, I kind of screwed it up, I guess. Our bronze namesake. I'm not finished with you yet. Kent, go.
The most important thing that's happening right now for me is finding out who's going to be Braun's tag team partner. Early rumors have suggested possibly Elias, possibly a returning Samoa Joe. Please sign me up for either, and I also say Bray's got to be involved in that potentially. I'm fine with any of those.
Yeah, that is an interesting segment. I think we'll definitely hit it more next week. They barely touched it this week, so.
By the way, Cesaro and Sheamus really did a good job this week. I'll give them props.
Fantastic job. They were going to be my original, one of those two, but I saw Jeff.
Yep.
I was like, hey, it's the last time I'm going to see him.
Yep.
So, kudos to that. All right, I'm not finished with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I want to know where they're going with this. They fired them. They obviously need them back because we're going to have that tag team match. But how is it coming about? How are they going to bring them back? If the one that was basically on their side fired them, I guess Shane's emotions are going to get pissed off and getting them back, right?
Well, how is Daniel going to be an active competitor and still be the GM?
Good question.
And Shane's not the commissioner anymore, so, like, are they without power? Like, I'm confused. Can you be the GM and be an active wrestler?
Yeah, that seems counterintuitive.
I mean, we know Shane went to Raw because he was backstage just last week on Raw when Roman... So we know that for fact.
And he looked fine, too. Yep. You know, for a guy who got his larynx crushed, he's looking fantastic a week later.
God, I watched that video again of him, like, making that noise afterwards, and it was just the... If that could be a ringtone, I'd possibly consider.
Oh, God. Oh, he... Yeah, he made that choking noise really badly.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's do the last thing we always do every week. It's Guess the Wrestler. You know, you think the point where we'd be running out of wrestlers soon. We've done over 100 of these. Well, not all of them have been wrestling. But still, we've done close to 100 of these.
And I could do this for another 5 years, I feel.
Oh, probably, I know, because there's tons of wrestlers, and we can always repeat, who knows.
And we've still never used Stone Cold.
I know, well, because it's too easy. Stone Cold.
Nope, it's the Ringmaster.
Ringmaster, damn it.
All right, give them the rules, Russ.
All right, so, Guess the Wrestler. Each week, one of us comes with a wrestler. This week is Kent's job. Come up with a wrestler. And the rest of us, me, have 9 questions to ask. We get 2 gimmies, and then we have to guess the wrestler. Oh, no, well, I'm sorry. We get 9 questions, 2 gimmies, but we also get 2 guesses. The 9 deuce thing going. So this week is Kent's turn. I get to ask the questions. But Kent, before I go, give me my 2 gimmies.
It is a male and okay. A former wrestler.
Okay, former wrestler. All right. What era is he known? Like, we would know, like, that's him.
I would say Ruthless Aggression era.
Okay. So that would be WWE then?
Is that your second question?
I want to say no, because there's nothing going on with Ruthless Aggression but WWE. What were his main championships? Like, the big ones.
Yep. Nope.
No championships? No. But we know him from Ruthless Aggression. Okay. All right.
And I know you know him. Like, I didn't pick somebody that's obscure.
Okay. No championships. All right. Ruthless Aggression era.
I think you're underestimating how long ago TNA started, though.
True. I know you're getting me to ask that question so you can say WWE to me. But, all right, fine. What's his main
WWE show?
I knew it. You son of a bitch.
Yeah, I made you waste the question. But you would have felt so dumb, though, had you just gone the WWE tree.
Well, that's what I was worried about. I was like, yeah, but did not watch. He'll probably make it someone from TNA. All right, all right, let's see. Hair color.
Hair color?
Yeah.
Black.
Black, that doesn't help me. Skin color.
I would say tan. He's not black, he's tan.
Tan, huh?
I mean, Sheamus is white. Cesaro yes. is white. This guy is more tan. Like, I don't know, what the fuck would you call Roman? I mean, I know he's Samoan, but you'd Samoan, call him, like, tan.
Yeah, I wouldn't call him black.
Right. You just, like, so I'm thinking, like, along those lines.
All right. Single wrestler or tag team mostly?
Single.
Okay.
Four more questions, and you have not really helped yourself.
Not really. Well, the belt kind of hurts.
The belt really hurt, and I'd forgotten that he'd never gotten anything major, so.
So I've got to figure out how else I know him.
I love on his Wikipedia, like, one of the things is video game appearances. It's like, yeah, if you're in WWE, you've been in a video game. Like,
right.
Stop.
It's not a big deal. You're on the roster. Was he on during... No, I don't want to waste the question. Well, I have nothing. Screw it. Did he get part of, was he a part of the brand split? Ooh. And back then?
You know what?
Not going to be able to guess. Can I take that? I'll take the question back if you can't answer it.
I just need to look when the brand split. Okay. WWE original brand split. Because I don't know. I think so. I think it was that time. 2002 right, split. Yeah, because the brand split lasted for 3 or 4 years, I think. And that was Ruthless Aggression era, right?
Right. Or right, yeah, 2003-ish, right?
Yeah, I will say yes to your question.
Okay. I don't know if that helps, because I was going to say, what brand was he mostly on? But...
Is that your question?
No, because then I'd have two questions left, and I don't know what to ask. It doesn't seem like I have no idea who this is yet.
I'm not even sure what to have you ask.
It's that tough, huh?
And the thing is, it's a guy that's really well-known.
I was going to say, okay, is it... He's well-known, all right. So is he known more for heel or face?
Heel.
Heel?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. God damn. Did he have any major tattoos? Anything distinguishable?
Let me look at his picture. He did have tattoos, it appears, on both arms. He appears to have them.
Okay.
Nothing that I... The fact that I had to look it up probably tells you that not that recognizable.
Right.
More important.
You know, I don't know. I don't even know where to go with it. All right. I got, what, two more questions or one more?
Yeah, two more.
Two more.
I mean, I know a couple of questions, but nothing's really going to help you unless you get very specific.
And that's going to be tough. I don't know who I'm going for here.
I mean, it probably would help to know which brand.
Probably. All right, what brand was he on?
SmackDown.
It was SmackDown. All right, that does actually help. Leaves me with one question, though, and that's going to be a tough one. All right, so he's on SmackDown.
In that era. I'm not guaranteeing that he wasn't on Raw at some points, too, but I definitely remember him on SmackDown.
Okay. I'm going to cheat because I don't think I have a chance. So I'm going to at least get a... Because I don't know who it is. I'm going to at least get up a list, possible list.
Well, that's not really fair because you're going to look at every big name heel and you're going to find one, possibly two heels that never held a championship.
I have nothing. I really have no idea who this is. So I might not even find a list, though. That's the problem. This is such an old group. It's kind of hard, you know what I mean, to find the list. Like, I don't even know if I have the list.
He was on Raw at one point. And then he got drafted.
All right. Was he freakishly large or any, like, significant features?
There was a particular feature about him that made his character what it was. Whether it be whatever that particular feature is, it made him stand out as a really big deal at that time. And I'll give you a hint after your first guess.
Alright. So, I don't think this is right. But I'm going to try it anyway. I'm going to say Mohammed Hassan. He's the one that had that terrorist thing going on.
That would be it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
It was, holy crap. The only reason I... This is the only reason I thought about him. What was it? Didn't we talk about him last
week? Yeah, that's like exactly why I chose him.
That's the only one that brought me up to. I was like, Mohammed Hassan, maybe? Because we talked about him? That was it. That's the reason why.
Because, yeah, he held Ohio Valley Heavyweight Championship, I think.
He was big. He was huge. And then
He was huge. And then they did the terrorist angle the same night that the UK had that terrorist attack. And WWE was stupid enough.
Yep.
To air Undertaker getting beat by terrorists. And then he got fired. It was like, and I was going to tell you after your first guess, I was going to be like, this guy may have got the most unfair firing of all time.
Okay, yeah, that would have helped a lot, actually. Here's the other thing that helped me. You said he was tan.
How much was I supposed to describe that? Because Arab. He's
Italian. Middle Eastern, I'd say. Middle Eastern, right?
He's Italian.
Oh, he's Italian.
Yeah, so
he's Italian, so he's not even.
He was just given
Muslim?
The greatest gimmick at the time.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
Wow.
His real name is Mark Julian Copani.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, yeah, he's just an Italian dude.
Okay, I didn't find the roster, but I'll tell you what helped me: Great Khali. That's why I looked at him. Like, oh, he's kind of like, I was like, oh, what if it's somebody of that persuasion?
Well, how would you have answered that if I have asked you that? Like, how would you have answered?
I would have said Middle Eastern, but when I saw his real name, you're right. I might have gone Middle Eastern. I wouldn't have said Italian. Yeah, you're right. Because you're right. He's Italian. He's just dark skinned.
Yeah. That's why I said, like, that's why I kind of went with Roman, because they have very similar skin color, actually.
Yeah. But that's what helped me, too. Like, looking at Khali, I looked at Khali as a picture.
Yeah.
When I was trying to cheat, and I was like, wait a minute. Khali is kind of tan, but not
Ed Khali anything and else. Muhammad had the same manager.
Interesting. Daivari. That's right. You're right. I did know that. Yeah. So, all right. Hey, look at that. That was a complete and utter guess. Only reason because we talked about him last week. I was like, well, Kent likes to do that.
I planted my seed last week.
All right. So,
I thought last week it was my turn, and I.
That's why. Okay. All right. All right. Sweet. So we are done for the week. So, Kent, anything special going on next couple of weeks?
Other than WrestleMania. What's going on, Tales from the Plunder Fund, because Eric's been sick all week. So we may not have one this week. I don't know what I'm doing as far as horror movie blogs. I know Santa Clarita Diet, though, is returning. Where is it? Back already? I don't know.
It's not really returning, isn't it? Just they put the episodes on Netflix and...
Well, yeah, it's season two. They are... It's like...
I know, it's really weird to call it returning. It's not returning, it's just putting the new season on, right?
Well, it is returning.
I guess,
I mean,
you're
it
right.
got renewed for a second season.
That's true. Which makes me want to watch the first season now. So.
Oh, you've never seen it?
No, not yet. Because I wanted to see if it's going to get more than just the first season. Sometimes I like to wait.
It has a good cast.
That's the one with what's her name?
Drew Barrymore. Oliphant.
Yes. I definitely wanted to see it. It looked interesting to me.
Nathan Fillion and Andy Conan's dude, Andy Richter. He was.
Oh, Andy Richter. Yeah, okay.
There's a couple other people you probably recognize.
Right. It does have a good cast. It sounds like it. I just wasn't sure about it.
I didn't think I was going to like it. I thought it was going to be too girly for me, but I admit I really liked it.
All right. I'll give it a shot. That's definitely one I wanted to give a shot.
Plus,
so.
The episodes are only like 20-some minutes long, so there's only 10 episodes.
Oh, easy to digest. Yeah, easy to digest.
Yeah. So, I don't know of anything else. We don't have any fucking pay-per-views, thank God.
Yeah, until WrestleMania.
Also, I just wanted to say that TNA, they have a Twitch page, and it's like twitch.tv/impactwrestling, and they show a lot of their old stuff. And just like Pluto TV, the app, this also shows some old stuff. And for wrestling fans that really want to see where so many guys, you know, I was just watching really young Eric Young and Bobby Roode as a tag team from like 13 years ago. It's yeah. really kind of neat to see where these guys came from. So highly recommend it for wrestling fans.
All right.
That's it.
Okay. Well, then that is the end of our show. Hey, not terrible. We got it under 2 hours, so that's good for us.
Yep. 90 without minutes. Carry. Definitely.
Yeah, yep. A little bit more than that, yep. But that's all right. All right. So for Kent and myself, and of course, Carrie.
Wherever she may be.
That's it. Wherever she may be. The only person who listens to the podcast. We're out. Have a wonderful evening.
Indeed.
Yes.